myself. I'm Mathieu Amy from the car manufacturer Renault, and from the laboratory La CNRS. I'm actually in first year PhD student, and I will present to you my work on adaptive fault tolerance on ROS. So first of all, I would like to show you some definition to have the theory behind our project. So first, we start with dependability, which is the ability for a service to continue to, for a system to have a service that can be trusted when it expects errors or changes. So I will not talk about security, I will only talk about safety, which can be described with four main subjects, which are the prevention, the removal, the forecasting, and the tolerance of errors in the systems. Well, I will talk myself about fault tolerance, which is the design and implementation of soft fault tolerance mechanism in order to ensure the transition to a safe state for the systems. But I will also talk about resiliency, which is the persistence of the system when it faces changes. So what exactly is adaptive fault tolerance? It's a mix of resiliency and fault tolerance. So it's a design and implementation of fault tolerance mechanism that can be switched, adapted, or composed when the system faces changes and errors. So first, the problem statement, so why we discuss about adaptive fault tolerance. It's once the system is deployed, we cannot face every change. We cannot predict what the system will be able to react with environment change, with a development problem. And so we want to develop safety mechanisms that can be adapting, that can adapt themselves to the situation, to the environment, to the system architecture. And for that, we need 3 points. The separation of concerns, which is a separation between functionality and the safety part. The design for adaptation, to change and adapt the mechanism in the easiest and fastest way. And the remote fine-grained update, sorry for my English, in order to develop them offline and to implement them online on the embedded systems. So the point is to design the systems as components that can be connected, and that's why we're here for ROS. And the point is to have two types of resiliency. A hot resiliency, that is the modification of the component graph, that's adaptation of the mechanism at runtime, and the cold resiliency, which is the analysis of the safety analysis, the development of the new component, and the update of these components to the embedded systems. So I present to you 3 examples of fault tolerance mechanisms. First one is a primary backup replication. So as you can see, the service is replicated. The client only sends a request to one of the replicate, then it's compute and checkpoint its state to the other replication. The second one is the leader-follower replication. The difference is it's always for crash fault tolerance, which means if the hardware crash, we need to have a replication to ensure the states of the systems. The difference between the primary backup replication and the leader-follower replication is that the request are sent to all the replication, but only the leader, the first replication, send the answer to the others. The last one will be the time redundancy, which tolerates the transient crash fault. For one request, the system will compute the service multiple times and then compare the answer to see if there is errors in the systems. So to do that, as you can see, for the same fault model, we can have different application behavior or different resources. For example, the primary backup need to save its state, the answer, and to send a checkpoint, which need a large bandwidth, but it don't need to have deterministic applications. The leader follower, in the contrary, needs to have a deterministic application, because if one of the replication is not one of the replication does not compute as the others, the replication doesn't work. So the point is to have a graph of mechanism and to switch from one to another. For example, we start with a leader-follower replication. and we have a drop of energy, so we switch to a PBR, a primary backup replications, which ask less energy. So to do that, we need what I call the separation of concerns, which is to detach the safety from the functionality. But we also need a design for adaptation. It's to design the components to pass one from another with the least change as possible. That's why we design the mechanism with three parts: the before, the proceed, and the after. The before is the synchronization of the replication before the execution, and the after is, of course, the synchronization of the replication after the computations. As you can see, the difference between most of the mechanism are the before and the after part, and that will be the only component that will change when we try to adapt them. So that's the end for the theory, and now we'll start the implementation of this mechanism on ROS. So we start with a generic situation. We have only a client and a server, which provides a generic service. We don't care about the service. And our point is to implement the safety mechanism between the systems. As you can see, we don't touch the client, we don't touch the server, we only add few components to ensure the dependability of the systems. So next is implementation of the primary backup. As you will see, it may seem a bit complicated, but here you have, So you have the primary, the backup, so the server is replicated. As you can see, we have the safety mechanism, the before, the proceed, and the after. And the mechanism is really simple. We have interfaces between the machines, so with the proxy and the protocol. We have the mechanism itself with the before, the proceed, and the after. And we have the crash detector nodes and a recovery nodes in case of crash. So what happens, for example, if the master crash? The point is to ensure the service to another computing machine. We only have to reactivate, for example, the topics that communicate between the proxy and the protocol. So that's the point with the primary backup replication. And as you can see, the only change that we'll have between the two mechanisms, the primary backup and the leader follower, we only have to kill the before and the after of each replicase and to launch and remap the component for the leader-follower mechanism. The other implementation, which is important, is the time redundancy mechanism. As you can see, so we save the states of the server before the computation, we compute it, we store the answer, we restore the state of the system, compute it a second time, and we compare the answer. So that's the point to tolerate transient fault. Now the point is, what happens if the fault model is more complex? The point is to design the interface between the machine and the server to be the same. What I mean is that we need to have a proceed and the protocol that have the same input and output. So, to have an adaptation, we only have to kill the proceed and to relaunch a protocol before proceed and after to have the composition of two mechanisms. To do that, we only have to stop the protocol, kill the proceed, launch the mechanism, for example, so the time redundancy mechanism, and to restart the protocol. So here is the big composition of mechanism. As you can see, we have the primary backup and the composition with the time redundancy. The only thing that changed is that the proceed of the primary and the backup were killed and replaced by another mechanism. So we do a bit of case study with a simple application to evaluate the response times and if the system can be used for real-time systems. So the point is to have, so we have some numbers. For example, the initialization time is around 0.5 seconds, but it's a bit long, but it's not really important for the initializations. The most important part is that the execution only adds 2 to 5 milliseconds, depending the mechanism to the application. The recovery is only the reactivation for the primary backup and the leader follower of the reactivation of 2 topics. So the recovery time is around 1 millisecond, which is really, really fast. But one of the problems is the adaptation and composition, because it means the launch of new components, which can take sometimes as long as the initialization. So one last point is the ROS master as a single point of failure. As you know, if the ROS master crash, there is no possible to relaunch the system, to relaunch only the node. Because the ROS master controls the system, it controls the communication, it has the control of the graph and control of the node. If it crashes, you lose everything. You only have to relaunch the node, you only have to reinitialize the system, and it can't be acceptable for critical embedded systems. So there are 2 points of reflection to solve that. One is to launch the ROS master on a reliable machine, but as we know, a machine can't be reliable at 100%. Computing unit can crash, even if it's 90% reliable, there is a risk. So we work with Northern University of Massachusetts, Boston, to try a way to checkpoint the state of the masters and to relaunch it in order to keep the system alive. So I did not design DMTCP, which means distributed multi-threading checkpointing. I invite you to check that. It was developed by Gene Cooperman, so a researcher at Boston University. But I will try to explain to you how it works. So first, DMTCP only works with a Linux kernel. You don't need a lot of API. It's an open source software that can be found on the net and SourceForge, if I remember well. And it works as you have a DMTCP coordinator that will checkpoint the states of every process that was launched with DMTCP and restore it without any change. So you will ask what's the difference between the reloading of ROS master and the DMTCP coordinators. The point is that if the DMTCP coordinator crash, it's not a problem. It can be relaunched and can do the checkpoint as well as if it has not crashed. To do that, so the process are launched with a coordinator. The checkpoint of the process is done with keeping the state of it, and it's restart with a script that's automatically created. So we still have experimentation on the DMTCP and its possibility with the ROS master, but the tests are very concurrent, and normally DMTCP should be able to checkpoint the ROS master and to relaunch it without the loss of the system. So first, that adaptive concerning the lesson learned, adaptive fault tolerance, so we need separation of consent to keep the functionality of the system intact, and the design for adaptation to adapt the system as easy as possible. And we also need, for adaptation, that the node can be start and stop. But one of the problems with ROS is that the node management is not easy. You don't have an API that says to the node, you stop working for now, and now you start working. But because ROS is launched on a Linux and a Unix process, you can use, for example, user signal to complete the API. One of the last things is that is really hard with ROS is that there is no dynamic binding with ROS 0.1. For example, if you have to do a transition to a safe state, you can't remap a topic or a service that have a name. You have to kill the node and relaunch it. That's one of the problems of of ROS and its API. But with the Unix call systems, you can have some kind of dynamic binding, but it's not as easy as it could be, and it's not natural. So to have a summary of the dynamic adaptation, so we need I know I said it from the start, but we need separation of concerns, we need design for adaptations, but we also need node management to stop the system during the adaptation of the composition of mechanism. We need dynamic binding to do a transition to a safe state, and we need a master checkpoint in case of the crash of the machine. So in conclusion, our experiment on ROS was really interesting. We do a lot of things with it. We designed and implement different mechanisms. We adapt them, we compose them, but there are still missing features in ROS that we hope can be developed later. Right now, so I'm proceeding a PhD thesis with Renault, the car manufacturer, in order to adapt those mechanisms to a different architecture and to design those mechanisms for the next automotive driving help systems, which we call ADAS. So I thank you for your attention, and if you have any question, thank you.
Yes, please.
Hi. Have you looked at how your system might interact with or interfere or basically get in an argument with process management systems like SystemD?
Like
SystemD, which is an entirely different way of managing, is an entirely different way of managing processes and has functionality to essentially stop and start processes it doesn't like.
Yeah, we only try to do it with a Unix call process. Okay. We only try to do it with a Unix call systems, but we try to do it with only using ROS APIs. That was the point of our work. It was to do the most with ROS libraries and ROS calls in ROS management, but we do not seek any further for the node management. We did not try to use another system to manage the node. We only use a user signal to stop and control the node, and we try to see if there are libraries or APIs in ROS that can do that, but we did not find them.
Okay, and you didn't encounter any interference or things dying on you or starting unexpectedly?
No, if we stop the nodes, it's a restart with the same behavior. We do not have any loss in the system. We don't have any loss with the messages, with the behavior of one node. If you use a user signal to have the node management, it starts and it stops as naturally as it's possible. There is no interference with the behavior of the systems.
Okay,
I hope I answer your question.
Mostly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have time? Can you talk about the resource overhead in using DMTCP? Like, would you deploy that on a production system?
Yeah, so it's Gene Cooperman from the Northern Boston University. He developed that. It will to be used for every system, every process that work on Linux. I did not develop the DMTCP and only work to checkpoint the ROS master, so I can't talk about the DMTCP precisely. But there's a lot of documentation on the web. You can download the DMTCP and try it to launch and to kill and to restart processes, to checkpoint processes. But the few experimentations that we do with Gene Cooperman was really exciting and have a good result. Only have a few modifications to support pseudo terminals and to support ROS. But it can work really nicely with every process. It can be used as plugin in every C++ process, and it it can be used with Unix process and process developed with C++. But as I say, I only work on the adaptive tolerance, and to have a more precision on this work, you will have to look at it in the next.